This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, it's one thing you don't know about Arthur Blank. You know, you bump in with a big thundering Metallica song, right? That whole ATL Live thing where you're getting Taylor Swift concerts, Metallica, George Strait, you know, they've had so many different concerts there, you know, all the great hip-hop concerts. I forget the name. Pardon me, the name escapes me of the one. Brazilian, I think she was Brazil, you know, pop star or something. She sold out two shows, and but the whole ATL Live thing, that's Arthur Blank too. He owns that. He owns ATL Live. It's part of the major events of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. See, the whole corporation, welcome back to the show, John Fricke on a Sunday morning. The whole corporation has multiple, think of it as a house, okay? And then AMB has different rooms, all right? There's like a soccer room that has Atlanta United, now the NWSL. It also has, all the connections to the, well, it also includes the training facility, which is expanding up in Marietta right there off 75. That's a soccer house, right? Then there's like a football house, which is the Falcons, Flowery Branch. Then there's a major events house, and the major events house is all the college football games, all of the concerts, ATL Live. They obviously assist in every event that goes on at the stadium, but they're really responsible for all of those. And there's a golf one, right? The PGA Superstore, the Atlanta Drive. And so, I mean, and every one of these, and it includes additionally, he owns big ranches, okay? Big ranches. He's a billionaire, so he owns these big ranches out west. So every little thing is its own pod, okay, under this one umbrella, which is AMB. So when people say sell the team, it's like you're looking at going, look, this is close to being a multinational corporation. That's just one part of 20, 30 moving parts of the corporation. It's not like, hey, I think some people say he owns the Falcons and that's it. No, actually, that's not it. Okay? He owns it. No, that's not it. That's not the way it works. And you're not going to cut the legs of the corporation out from underneath AMB by the Falcons are the number one property. Okay? They're the number one property in the whole company. You're not going to cut the legs of the company and the shareholders out by getting rid of the number one property that the company owns. So this whole, he needs to sell the team. So this is why I just don't understand the opinion of Arthur Blank here, that he's a crappy owner, which is, I get that a lot, that he needs to sell the team, which I get a lot too, by the way. Or I also get that these posts here in the last few days saying, you know, it's pretty obvious that, hey, you had a caller's point. He's okay with mediocrity. He doesn't want to win. I'm trying to figure out the mindset of people who think these things. Because none of them are true. I'm trying to tell you. Now, I can tell you that for fact, okay? That I can tell you for fact. What I cannot tell you is what's going to happen. Because I have no clue. Nobody has any clue what's going to happen. This Sportology thing with the consulting firm and all that kind of stuff, and the evaluation is if they're, every team evaluates at the end of the year. Does that mean Terry Fontenot is going to be back? Don't know. Nobody knows. Only Arthur Blank knows. Nobody knows. Is Raheem going to be back? Don't know. Are there going to be coaching staff changes if he is or he isn't? Well, of course, if he isn't, there will be. Probably, we're guessing, seems like it. Would he want to hang on to Jeff Ulbrich? You'd think so. You know, does Jeff Ulbrich want to stay, or does he want to hang on to Zach Robinson? Beats me. Do they want to bring back Kirk Cousins? Well, I don't know. Will Kirk Cousins get, does Kirk Cousins want to restructure his deal? I don't know. Maybe Kirk Cousins does. Maybe Kirk really loves it here. Maybe he softened the whole thing about lying to his teammates, to us, and to Mr. Blank, lying twice, by the way. Maybe he softened all of that, and they're okay with him in the locker room. And Mr. Blank's okay with him. I wish if that were the case, I wish that they would almost indicate, hey, Flowery Branch, it might not be a bad thing to help people like me out if Mr. Blank and the team and the organization have smoothed things over from the lying standpoint with Kirk Cousins, that you'll let us know that it's been smoothed over. Because since we don't know if it's been smoothed over, he's going to have to maybe smooth it over with us. Just to tell him, hey, listen, you smoothed it over in the locker room. You smoothed it over with Mr. Blank. You probably need to smooth it over with some of the fans who are still mad at you for lying. Because he hadn't done that. And I don't care what kind of charity work he's doing or whether his wife is baking cookies for, you know, underprivileged kids. I don't care. You lied to me, okay? You lied to me. You've got to come out and hold a news conference and say, look, I lied. I admitted I lied in two separate interviews on two separate things. You know, I lied about being 100% about the Achilles when I first came here. He paid me $100 million guaranteed. I also lied, you know, after the New Orleans game where I got hit and I was hurt. And I was, you know, I turned into like that noodle arm quitter dude that was here before me. And I'm throwing pick sixes, lollipop pick sixes against Denver. I lied because I didn't want Michael Penix because I was mad that Michael Penix was going to get the job, that they drafted him. I didn't want him to take the job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so, I mean, I need him to come out and say, look, I'm sorry. I need you to trust that I won't do it again. It was a bad decision on my part to lie twice. I really do like it here. My wife really does like it here. We want to stay. And here's the proof. We're going to take a lot less money to stay. I really want to try and help Michael be a quarterback. I want to be a tandem thing here. If I can help him out, I'm willing to do that. Because let me recall to you that Matt Ryan said prior to going to Indianapolis that he would be happy to stay and mentor Desmond Ridder. Does anybody remember that? He came out and said it. And so I think that Kirk Cousins is not in the mentoring business. Kirk Cousins is in the playing business still here, but at his age, he's going to have to eventually grow into the mentoring thing, right? So at some point, in the not-too-distant future, by the way, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Ryden. He's on with John. Hey, Ryden, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. So I've been listening to your little game, and, you know, I just want to
All right,
to
let's
say,
play it here. Yes or no, Terry Fontenot's sure. back.
Yes.
Raheem Morris, yes or no, he's back.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins, yes or no, he's back.
Yes.
All right, Kyle Pitts, yes or no, he's back.
Yes.
So just a scoreboard here. It is now 8-1. Terry Fontenot is back. It is now 8-1. Raheem is back. It is now 6-3. Kirk is not back. And it is now 9-0 that Kyle Pitts is back. I think we all know Kyle Pitts is back. Just an update, Ryden. Go ahead.
So I just want to speak on one thing that, you know, as fans, we tend to miss. You know, you can change coaches and ownership and, you know, the players come and go, but the fans will always remain. And one thing I'll say about the fan base, and not just for this city, but for many other cities, is if you can't experience continuity in a team, then it's going to cause problems. And if we just keep changing the quarterbacks and keep changing the coaching and get on that wheel, we're never going to get any better. It's just going to be, okay, it's another rebranding year, it's another restarting year. So I disagree with a lot of the fans that, you know, we need to fire Raheem Morris. I think that I think we need to give him another year. I think that there has got to be some continuity in any organization for it to be successful. And I think that...
So how
you know,
do you explain...
You look at,
how do you explain with a young quarterback the turnaround in Jacksonville with the new coach in Leon Cohen, but the turnaround in Chicago with Caleb Williams and the new coach in Ben Johnson? How do you explain the turnarounds in places where they went out and got new coaches and suddenly, you know, their team is being uber successful?
I don't disagree with you on that. I don't disagree with you on that. But what I'm saying is right now with what's in the NFL, you know, going back to what previous caller Kevin was saying about consistency, I have to agree with that. And I think that, you know, It would be great if we could get another coach and things turned around. But given the history of the Atlanta Falcons, I just don't see it. And so I'm leaning towards the continuity side. I think that we need to try to give everybody another chance. I think that we need to bring Kirk Cousins back, keep him under center, let him, you spoke on the mentorship. Again, I don't disagree. I think he owes the fan base an apology, to say the least. But I really think that at where we're at as an organization, from Arthur Blank all the way down, we just need to have at least one more year of continuity to see where we go. And I think, that's just kind of where I stand. And again, we know how opinions are. But
I know everybody's welcome to it. And by the way, Ryden, I could sit here and pound the table and say I disagree, and we've given him every chance, and he's proven, is an interim here after Dan Quinn was fired and in Tampa, right, that he's not really an NFL. I mean, I could make all those cases, correct? But I could also say to you that, if he did make a change at offensive coordinator and there were other things, because this team right now, as assembled, because I agree with a previous caller, because I've said it many times, my impression, Ryden, is that this team, talent-wise, as assembled, is a team that has grossly, at this point, at 6-9, has grossly underachieved, that they are a 10 or 11-win team, that they are clearly, I think from a talent standpoint, to me anymore, based on that, almost beating Tampa in the first game and then beating them down there, they're the best team in the NFC South. So they have grossly underachieved this year.
I don't disagree. And a lot of that falls on the coaching, I think people grow and people learn from their mistakes.
And maybe it turns around next year and suddenly, Raheem's the toast of the town. And that could be – right, and that could happen. All of a sudden you're the toast of the town and the team wins 12 games and they rip off everything and suddenly they win 12 or 13 games and they become the new version of the Seattle Seahawks or of the Denver Broncos this year or the Jaguars. I mean, suddenly they're the hot thing in town. I mean, which, by the way, could happen. It could have happened this year. Just think about this, Ryden. Nothing changes except special teams.
Right.
Be covering kickoffs and making field goals. If you do those two things, this team might have 10 wins right now.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all.
But they fired the wide receiver coach.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Ryden. Do appreciate it. Thanks much. Have a good day. Let's get to Scott here on a Sunday. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show. If you're hanging on, stay right there. I promise if you're on hold, you'll get on the air. Hey, Scott.
Hey, John. How are you doing today?
Good, man.
Good. Well, it's been a while since I've spoken to you. I hope you're having a blessed holiday season and everything. I got a couple things here, a couple short things. The first one is I disagree entirely with the previous caller. I think you've got to get rid of Raheem and Terry and, this continuity stuff. Raheem is what he is at this point. I mean, he's had plenty of chances. I don't think as an organization we need to risk any longer, the success of this franchise. Arthur Blank is not getting any younger. So I would like to see us potentially have a new coaching staff and a new GM as well. And I think Terry has worn out his welcome. And I'm not as high on Todd Monken as you are. I personally would like to see someone like a Clint Kubiak from the 49ers. Who I think, it's been mentioned that Kyle Shanahan deserves because they've been decimated with injuries, but they've still put together a great offensive performance. So I would like to see that, and I think that could give us a potential of what Ben Johnson is in Chicago and Mike McDonald is in Seattle. But the last thing I wanted to say to you was, as far as Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts coming back, I read something – and I wanted your thoughts on this. I read something saying that Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, there's some rumblings that...
Right, hang on here. Scott, okay. I got to have you hang on. Hang on through the break here. We'll get to this point about Lamar Jackson. I like Todd Monken. I think he fits. But if it's Joe Brady or if it's Clint Kubiak, Obviously, you know, Kubiak is a legacy kind of guy. Interesting, isn't it, right? Shanahan and Kubiak. All right. We'll get to Scott's point about Lamar here. Other side of the break, if you're hanging out, stay right there. John Fricke live with you on a Sunday on Sports Radio 92.10 The Game.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Don't think it's lost on me, John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday morning, that of all the people that I work with, that Noel White doesn't do a better job of mixing and matching my music for bumps. Noel, you do a much better job of it.
That's a compliment, John. I appreciate that.
Well, some of the other people, you know, hasn't gotten through to them that I am a two-headed monster when it comes to music. I love serious heavy metal, and which is why Disturbed is my open song, and I'm a huge Metallica fan, and like Black Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm a big funk fan so I have like these multiple CDs of heavy metal and multiple CDs of funk. Okay. Everybody likes what they like. You know, my wife likes hot country. So that's fine. I mean, listen to a lot of that in the car. That's for sure. I'm hearing a lot of like Luke Combs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Jelly Roll and even old school stuff like, you know, Toby Keith. So I listen to a lot of that stuff too. I'm sure I know more Toby Keith songs than any other artist I've ever listened to in my entire life, only because, God love my bride, she has played all of his albums nonstop for, you know, the last 20 some odd years. And so I could probably sing, and I kid you not, 50 Toby Keith songs. 50. Because that's what she played, you know, entire albums, multiple albums, you know. Anyway, that's another here. I could do all the bus songs. I could do all the love songs. I could do every song that starts with blue. I mean, I know everything in the whole catalog. Okay. but I am a heavy metal and funk fan, and she mixes it up really nicely because I had all that funk. Because if you grow up when I was growing up, there was like pop at top 40, but there was also the beginning of really, you know, heavy metal. And it was when Black Sabbath first kind of showed up at the scene, you know, and there was heavy rock, but not necessarily heavy metal. I mean, heavy stuff like, you know, you had, you know, Rush and Jethro Tull and, you know, the beginning of kind of like the move into heavy metal. And then there was Black Sabbath, and it really kind of moved into metal. And that was all culminated by, and I know some metalheads don't like Metallica because they're too commercial in their opinion, but, you know, whether it's, you know, the modern ones, more modern, listen to me, like Korn or something, like modern, they're still around. And then there was all the funk in the 70s, which was the Cameos and the Parliaments and, you know, the Ohio Players and that stuff used to just boom because it's the back bass. That, you know, Rufus and all that kind of stuff. The back bass was always a big thump a thump a thump. I keep hoping funk comes back because I would love to have, you know, country got one thing because, you know, it's got modern country, right? But there's no modern funk. Or maybe there is, but there's just, it's not mainstreamed because it's still drowned out by hip hop and rap. There's nothing wrong with hip hop and rap if you like it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, boy, it would be really nice if I could call up Reggie Rouse and say, hey, let's get B103 to be a funk station. You listen to B103. No, I'm listening to B103. All right. Let's get to your calls here. Let's continue our conversation. We're talking about whether or not, look, it's just, is it getting to be patently obvious now after last night again with a disheartening loss, and it was another one for the Hawks, 0-5 on the homestand, that this is just, they haven't won since Trey came back, that it's for his sake, and it kills me because I'm a big, huge Trey Young fan, but at this point, for his sake and for the franchise's sake, that they start to entertain the idea of getting him 100% healthy and then seeking a trade before the deadline. We're also talking about the college. This is playoff week. Wednesday night, Cotton Bowl, Miami and Ohio State. Then we got the triple header coming up on Thursday, on New Year's Day. Starts with that Oregon-Texas Tech game, goes right into the Rose Bowl, Alabama and Indiana, and then culminates with the Georgia-Ole Miss game in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, I, as a college football fan, cannot wait for Wednesday night and the triple header on Thursday, but I cannot determine a true favorite this year. I think Ohio State, when they won, they were the favorite. I would argue that Michigan won 2 years ago, they were the favorite, and the two prior years when Georgia won, they were the favorite. Is Indiana, as the number one team, the favorite? I don't think it's as clear. Indiana could win it. And if you haven't seen Indiana, though, Indiana had a big blow. They lost Stephen Daly. Stephen Daly was their version of Vince Wilfork, okay? They lost him to injury, and I think he got injured in celebrating the Big Ten title. Celebrating! Dude, he was celebrating, and he hurt himself. That really hurts, because he was a really big part of their ability to stop the run and plug the interior and not let Ohio State make them one-dimensional. So, but they still have the Heisman winner, and they've got a great receiving core, and they got a lot of playmakers. Can Indiana win it? Yes. But I think any of them can. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Carson Beck, but, you know, Miami's defensive line is so good. You know, can Ole Miss, are they going to use the whole Kiffin thing as a rallying point? What do you think? And then, of course, we're talking about Arthur Blank and about, let's focus on next year with his news about the consulting firm coming in. Are there changes that are going to be made? Do you think Arthur Blank will be willing to make those changes? Do you think he doesn't want to win, so he's not going to make changes, or he's a crappy owner, so he's not going to make, because that's what I'm seeing. You know, I'm seeing all this, and I'm wondering what you think about that. Let's go to back to Scott here. I know he wanted to make a point about Lamar Jackson. Hey, Scott.
Hey, yeah, so I had a question. I read something last night saying that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, there was rumblings of kind of both sides being kind of disillusioned with each other, and that he could potentially be traded this offseason. So that raises the question. Whomever the GM is, whether it's Terry or someone else, realistically, in your opinion, what would a trade package look like for Atlanta if we could put together one, make the financials work if Cousins is no longer on the roster? And if we could potentially somehow swing for the fences and land that, would we be immediate Super Bowl contenders? And the last thing I'll say is, if that's not an option, I really love the idea of bringing in someone like a Mac Jones, who I think has plenty of good football left. And I was saying earlier, Clint Kubiak could be the head coach, and we could have a reunion of both of them, and we could build a team around him, at least as maybe a stopgap quarterback or something even further if he plays extremely well. So I'd like your thoughts on both of those, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I don't know. Is Lamar healthy? I mean, didn't we just go through that with a $100 million quarterback who wasn't healthy? We're going to go down that road again? I don't know. I the only way I can answer that is I'd be surprised if I can't know I assume that Terry Fontenot is going to be back. I don't see any reason he wouldn't be. But again, we only know what we don't know. Okay, so let's just play a game with me for a second about Terry Fontenot. First off, I think Terry Fontenot has done a very good job of drafting. Again, tomorrow night, you're going to see shots of Les Snead, presuming that Les Snead is coming to the game, general manager of the Rams, and the announcers are going to be thick-tonguing. Les Snead took the number one, because you're going to hear it, the number one pick of the Atlanta Falcons this year. He won this. Look at this. He's 11-4. Falcons are out of the playoffs, and he has the Falcons number one pick. He's brilliant. Really? Would you trade James Pierce Jr. and Xavier Watts back for that number? Do you want that number one pick back? Would you trade Pierce and Watts to get it back? Hell, you would. He didn't win that trade. Now, we don't know. Maybe he makes that pick and suddenly he's got, you know, some super, super duper, duper star that's going to the Hall of Fame 10 years from now. And, you know, we look back and say, well, you know, he actually won that. Well, again, you can't know. But would you make, so I'll only deal with what we're dealing with now, which is the converse to that. If they thick tongue this and say that Les Snead won that trade, I would ask them directly, would you trade James Pierce Jr. and Xavier Watts to the Rams? Do you think Les Snead would say, I'll trade you back the number one pick for James Pierce Jr. and Xavier Watts? Yes, I think he would. Yes, I think he would. He said, wait, you're going to give me James Pierce Jr. and Xavier Watts, and I'm going to give you this tight end that we took that nobody cares about and your number one pick back? If he could take that trade back, would that deal, would he do it? Of course he would. Which is a long-winded way of saying I think Terry Fontenot has done a pretty darn good job. I think he patchworked together a team that was under salary cap hell after Matt Ryan to make them viable around Christmas in the first of the year, unlike this year where they weren't viable by even barely into December. They were viable under Arthur Smith until they were still playing. Now, granted, yeah, their division sucked. I understand that. But that was also partly because Terry Fontenot was able to find, you know, relatively inexpensive one-year deals on veterans that he was able to determine still had a year left in the tank. That takes talent, okay? And so I think he's done a pretty good job. Well, we can't know what we don't know, and that is Terry Fontenot did not hire Arthur Smith. However, did he hire Raheem? I don't know that. You don't know that. Did Terry Fontenot sit in Mr. Blank's office and say, yeah, I appreciate the fact that you have ties to Raheem, that you're tight with him. If he's who you really want, I'll try and work with him. He's not the guy that I would recommend, but I'll go with you. That's one thing, right? As opposed to Terry Fontenot sitting in Mr. Blank's office going, you know, we've interviewed all these guys, Mr. Blank, and I know that you really like Raheem, but you have a lot of questions. Let me tell you why Raheem is the guy. So I don't know if Raheem is on Terry Fontenot or if it's on Mr. Blank. If, in fact, they're going to move on from Raheem, right? You don't know that. I don't know that. We don't know how this went down. Okay? So I don't know if he's going to, if Mr. Blank's going to say, look, you made a lot of nice draft picks. You did some of that, but you were the one who got me this Raheem thing, and we haven't been to the playoffs since you've been the general manager, and I got to go get this new head coach, and I got to get a new general manager. I mean, we don't know. So, I mean, I'm assuming that Terry Fontenot might be back. Does that automatically mean Raheem is back? No. Again, you don't know who ultimately owns Raheem Morris here, the decision to make him the head coach. As for Kirk, at $57.5 million, he might have to be back. Would he renegotiate? Again, everything is just a guess here because we don't know. I think the only thing I know is that they're going to tag Kyle Pitts. But aside from everything, and by the way, I would tag Tyler Algier as well. But Kirk Cousins is, well, you can't tag both, actually. So just tag Kyle Pitts. You got one. Never mind. But assuming they tag Kyle, well, yeah, they'll probably lose Tyler. All right, now that I think about it. But, all right, that's neither here nor there when it comes to Kirk. I don't know. Could Kirk Cousins want to rework his deal? Does he have to apologize to us? I think it would be nice if he did, if he wants to rework his deal and kind of become, you know. I have a hard time cheering for him. Honestly, I do. I mean, I cheer for the Falcons, and if he's throwing passes, then I'm going, oh, good, there's a touchdown. But I'm not like, go, Kirk, go. That's just not my world, all right? Do we have time? No, we don't have. Michael and Frank, hang on. I got to take a quick break here. And as we get back on the other side, your calls. Don't I wish we had, like, five tags? I want to keep the. That's my point here. I think this roster is pretty good. I think it's pretty darn good. It's a damn sight better than 6-9. The special teams, we don't talk enough about how much of a disaster the special teams were over the last 2 years. Let's not forget the 6-3 game where you had three games up in the tiebreaker, right? The game where down in the swamp where Kirk got hurt. One of the reasons that they lost that game, or maybe was that Youngway missed three field goals in that game. Youngway does his job. They win that game. They're 7-3, and it's an entirely different world that we're living in because they would have absolutely run away with the NFC South last year. Instead, it all collapsed in on them. Wild. Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday. John Fricke taking you till 12:30. At 404-726-0929, we have a triple header of NFL games today. It begins with the Seahawks and Panthers. Critical game for both teams. Seahawks 12-3 trying to lock down the number one overall seed, which I think they can do today if they win and they get a little bit of help. The Panthers trying to lock down the NFC South. I think they do that. Well, I certainly they do that if they win and the Bucs lose to Miami. I haven't really dug into the tiebreakers between the Panthers and the Bucs because I don't give a damn. Then we have the second game will be the Fernando Mendoza Bowl between the New York Giants and the Las Vegas Raiders. Then the final game is that Bears 49ers game, and both teams have really had great seasons. They're both 11-4 this year. They're all hoping the Panthers beat the Seahawks and both may get a crack at maybe being like the Rams when they come in on Monday night. The number one seed. Rams are 11-4 as well. So there's a big race for positioning and trying to get up to that. Remember, only one bye now. So that number one seed means something. And we'll see how it all kind of shakes out here. But the big triple header, Seahawks, Panthers, Giants, Raiders, Bears, 49ers, begins at 12:30 here on 92 on the game. Talking about the Hawks and their real struggles here. Winless with Trae Young back in the lineup, lost 6 in a row, 0-5 homestand, 5-11 at home, 2-10 in their last 12. Nothing is good inside these numbers. And they play at Oklahoma City tomorrow night. Good luck with that. And whether or not it's time for the Hawks to begin to entertain getting Trae Young healthy, because, you know, if Kristaps, and we're supposed to find out more about Kristaps Porzingis today in his heart, if Kristaps is not able to play because of his heart, yeah, maybe you start to entertain the idea. You have the Pelicans' number one pick next year. You have, two number one picks. You could have number one and number 15. Entertaining the idea of trading Trey. And if you were able to trade Trey and get a draft pick for him or two, you know, you could, over the next couple of years, really build something here. So maybe it's the time to entertain the idea of doing what one time I really thought was unthinkable, which is going ahead and trading Trae Young. It's going to be a difficult trade because you're going to have to trade him for expiring contracts, right? And because you don't really want those contracts. You know, Kristaps will be gone at the end of the year, even if he's able to play again. And you want expiring contracts. So you can remake the team. You know, Jalen Johnson, Onyeka Okongwu, Zachary Risacher, and Dyson Daniels, though Dyson's got to play better. Zach's got to grow, and Dyson's got to play better. But you can remake the team there and reimage it, too. Let's go to Michael here, and we're talking about the Falcons, obviously, on this Sunday with the Monday Night Football coming up tomorrow between the Falcons and the Rams. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Good.
I've been listening to the show since you came on this morning. And the question I have, all those guys that say, Raheem, when you were saying the yes or no, Raheem.
Oh, you want to do it? Hang on. Do you want to do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just yes or no right now. Understand, it's 11:43 in the morning. It's just yes or no right now. You can change your mind 5 minutes from now, but we're just asking yes or no. No, no. Hey, listen, is this guy going to restructure? We don't know anything about what's going on, but we're just guessing. Terry Fontenot, will he be back, yes or no?
Yes.
Raheem Morris, will he be back, yes or no?
No.
Broke down liar. Will Kirk Cousins be back, yes or no?
I hope no.
No, no, just you got to pick one. Not whether you're open or
not. No.
Kyle Pitts, will he be back?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kyle Pitts thing I think is getting to be pretty obvious. You know, 10 nothing, yes. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue. Michael, go.
The ones that said Raheem and Fontenot said yes, I'm wondering how many of them are season ticket holders. I went to almost all the games this year. I got friends that are season ticket holders. Some of them are even suite holders. And that payment comes out next month. And I'm hearing from them, they like, Raheem's got to go. They know Arthur Blank has always gave a coach 3 years, but if the guy ain't no good, he ain't no good, John. I've seen the Carolina game, that was it for me. 30 to nothing, I'm like, he's got to go. As far as Kirk Cousins, the day of the pocket quarterback, I think, is over, and we got to get a mobile quarterback. I don't know what Penix is going to be. I was kind of iffy on that pick, but I think we need a mobile quarterback.
Well,
I'll listen to your response.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, when we say mobile, I'm not sure that we need necessarily to have Michael Vick or even prime Lamar Jackson. I don't know that you need a running quarterback, but you need somebody that can at least move with the pocket, which is why, you know, one of the things with Penix before he got hurt, and I had a lot of questions with Penix before he got hurt and how he was used, was we knew when they lost Caleb McGarry that right tackle was going to be an issue. Well, right tackle is Penix's blind side. And so why not roll him to his left, to his strong side? You know, why not use a moving pocket? Why not find ways to get Penix kind of, you know, don't lock him into standing in the middle there and becoming a target when the man has the legs to move. One of the reasons that Penix got injured so many times, I want to take you back on this. And I only know this because, again, this goes to my wife. My wife is an Indiana Hoosier. And so I've been watching Indiana football for the past 20 years. And every game of Indiana football. And where did Michael Penix play for 3 years before he went to? Well, he was at Indiana. So I watched Michael Penix play in every game, but he got injured every year. Interestingly enough, his offensive coordinator was Kalen DeBoer, who then went to Washington and reinvented Michael Penix into more of a pocket guy at UW, which is one of the interesting kind of side notes there. Kalen DeBoer, head coach at Alabama, used to be the offensive coordinator at Indiana. Kurt Cignetti, head coach at Indiana, used to be on the staff at Alabama. So it's a circle thing. When he was at Indiana, Tom Allen, the then coach at Indiana, used Michael Penix as a weapon in the offense. And he used him by letting him run all over the place. He was Michael Vick. He was running, running, running. He was throwing, but he was also running, running, running. His running led them to he had a very famous upset at Penn State, in at least in Indiana lore, by Michael Penix diving into the end zone. Penn State fans think, no, he wasn't in. I think he was in. That he beat Penn State in Bloomington kind of basically by himself by running the football. But in running the football, Michael Penix kept getting injured. And so that's why Kalen DeBoer said, yeah, I don't want you getting injured anymore. I want you to be protected. But at the same time, when you bring him here, he does have the ability, to Michael's point, to be able to move in the pocket. And so I don't know why you wouldn't at least put the run-pass RPO thing out there a little bit more with him, especially when you've got a talent like Bijan, and use those guys kind of in tandem. I don't know. I'm not an offensive coordinator. I'm not there. I'm not working with these guys. I can't tell you how things are going. I just kept thinking that, boy, there's got to be a better way to use Michael Penix. That's all I thought. Frank is with us. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show. Yo, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, man.
Hey, listen, I'm listening to this chatter about the Falcons. And, yes, to answer your question, I think both Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris will be back.
Okay, hang on.
I don't think
that's Kirk. Yeah, yes. Okay, wait. So you say yes on Fontenot, yes on Raheem. Kirk Cousins, Brooke Dallaire, yes or no?
No, too expensive.
Okay. And Pitts?
Pitts, I will say yes.
11-0 on Pitts being back, so I think we all agree. Go ahead, Frank.
Yes, and I think you know, I hear you say, you know, that they have the team. And I'm hearing other people talk about coaching, you know, as the issue, reason why they want, Raheem Morris gone. And that's fine. But when it comes to the Hawks, I don't understand why Quinn Snyder isn't on the hot seat. I'm hearing everybody
say. Wait a second. Who are we talking about here? You want to talk about the Hawks, not the Falcons?
Well, mainly the Hawks, but I'm just using the Falcons
fine.
As a reference.
I was getting, all of a sudden, you did the 180 on me. Okay, so let's go back to the Hawks. Okay, all right, so now we're talking about the Hawks. Forget about the Falcons. Just talk to me about the Hawks.
Okay, I don't understand why Quinn Snyder is not on the hot seat. I mean, for everybody who thinks, you know, Trae Young is the only issue, it's not like the guy that Trae is guarding is scoring like 80 points a game and everyone else is doing their job. I mean, the Hawks' main issue is rebounded. You're not getting any, like, offensive rebounds. I mean, teams are getting all these putbacks. And the 7'3" guy that you traded for, well, that you brought in free agency, he's unavailable. So you have no rim protector. And then your number one overall pick in NBA draft that you grabbed, this guy is looking like he should be coming off the bench. I mean, he's not really helping your team win. And, yes, you could have grabbed Alex Sarr, but people are like, okay, he didn't want to come here. Well, you should have drafted him anyways. I mean, Ace Bailey, there were rumblings about him going to Utah, but Utah grabbed him anyways. I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins wanted to get traded, but Arthur Blank kept him. Like, you had a chance to get your rim protector, but based on rumors and stuff, you chose to go with this other guy who's more like a poor man's Boris Diaw. So, I think Quinn Snyder needs to be on the hot seat, and Tony Ressler, he needs to be looked at as well. I mean, these whole rumors about Anthony Davis, it makes no sense. I mean, you're going to get rid of one mass unit for another? I mean, Anthony Davis will not be playing for you. He'll be unhealthy. And I also agree with you, for Trae's sake and the organization's sake, Trae Young, because I'm sick and tired of that being the excuse. Once Trae is gone, I think – Quinn Snyder needs to be on the hot seat, because now what's your excuse?
Let me go to this. I'm trying to figure this out because I hadn't checked it yet. I heard a lot of things about the Anthony Davis thing too. What I'm trying to determine here now is AD on an expiring contract? Because if he's on an expiring contract, I could see where that deal might make sense. No, he's not an expiring contract. He's under contract till 2028. So no, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Because I think what you would want, since you have two number one picks coming up, and if you can get more number one picks, if you're really going to reimagine the team with Trae, what you want to do is get a bunch of guys that are on. You want to get a serious number one pick out of it, and then you want to get some expiring contracts so you can just, you know, cut guys loose. As to Kristaps, again, we may find out more today, Frank, you know, in regards to his health. There's no question that they miss him. I mean, you can't have somebody who's a stretch 7'2" guy and as talented as he is and not miss him. I mean, they obviously miss him a lot.
Yes, and to your point, Dyson Daniels has regressed from the guy
he was
last year.
He just cannot. His shooting is not. His defense is great, but boy, his shooting is a liability.
But this is my point, that there are other issues besides Trae. And I mean, you know, Trae only had 9 last night, but the previous games he gets like, you know, 25 and 9. You know, he gets you his numbers, but yet people still want to look at him as the reason, like, you know, almost like the Hawks were world beaters, and all of a sudden Trae just sets foot on the court. Now all of a sudden they're just bombing the league.
I don't know that I view it that way. I'll just real quick, Frank, because I know I have to get to a break at the top of the hour. I'll leave you with this. I don't view it that way. I think of different versions with Trae. You can go back to the Gallo Herder, you know, sort of version that they had that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. And to the other versions that they've had with Trae. I think if it's just not going to work with Trae, I don't fault Trae, but I think for his sake and for the franchise's sake, if they can't figure out how to make it work with him, maybe somebody else can, and maybe it's best for both sides that they just move on. That's all.
And I totally agree with that.
Thank you, Frank. Do appreciate you taking the time to call in here. Another half hour before we go to NFL football. Phone lines open. You are a guest on this program. A lot of big topics today, heavy topics. Arthur Blank is an owner, Trey Young is a Hawk, and more on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.